Proverbs, 1st chapter and the 7th verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good to see each and every one of you. Always thankful for the opportunity we have to worship God in spirit and truth. Certainly thankful for all those that participate in worship and help us serve as we try to please God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. For the book of the month, I've decided to go with Proverbs. And what I'm trying to do is select a certain topic from Proverbs and really try to look at all the Proverbs about that particular topic, which is quite a challenge because there are certain ideas and certain threads that go throughout the book of Proverbs that there are a lot of Proverbs about. But certainly we want to have a general introduction to Proverbs, but look at the topic of wisdom this evening and what the Bible, particularly in Proverbs, has to say about wisdom. When we look at Proverbs, it's a collection of different authors, and I believe it to be inspired just as the other books, but it's kind of similar to Psalms. The Psalms is a collection. Now, Psalms, we do have a lot of David, but there are other Psalms that are in there. Moses, even Psalm 90, I believe, Moses, and Moses is way before, so Psalms, kind of a collection. And when we look at Psalms, certainly there are certain things that we find in Psalms that are different than other areas in Scripture. We pick up some figurative language. We pick up very intense emotion. And Proverbs kind of falls under the same category, is that it is inspired, no doubt, but trying to understand the purpose of Proverbs and understanding the style of Proverbs and certainly looking at some of that. But we have King Solomon, and then throughout Proverbs we see other wise men that are brought in. There's actually an individual that's mentioned. There's a second king that's mentioned. A lot of people think that that was just another name for King Solomon, but it is a compiling of these wise sayings. And as we think of the purpose of the book of Proverbs, I think chapter 1 is a good place to start. If you look at chapter 1 and the first little description there, as it starts to unfold, verses 2 through 6, it starts to talk a little bit, I think, about one of the major purposes of Proverbs. It says, to know wisdom, in verse 2, and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and direction. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will obtain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and the riddle. When I read those verses, we start to, I think, lay out one of the purposes of Proverbs, which is to lay out some good, general wisdom for life. Wisdom that we should read, wisdom that we should try to apply, and certainly there is a lot of that throughout Proverbs. Certainly a lot of them are wise, of course, but the idea of the need to act wise, to listen to instruction, and what a blessing it is to have wisdom. You know, a lot of times as we grow up, our parents will have a certain saying. And those certain sayings stick with us. And I could probably stop you cold and say, what's something that your dad or mom said to you growing up? And there are certain phrases that mom and dad said all the time. And that sometimes kind of fits into the realm of Proverbs, because when we start to look at Proverbs, for the most part, a lot of them are very short, to the point, and easy to memorize. It's a collection of wisdom. It's a collection of wise sayings, if you will, and certainly can be applied. Quick, short, truthful, and hit some points. And I think they were meant to be easily memorized. And a lot of times when we look at Proverbs, there's a lot of repetition. But when we think about teaching, what is one way that we teach many times is through repetition. In fact, I think that really the basic principle of most teaching is repetition. If you think of the things that you know most in life, the things that you know the best, they're the things that have been repeated the most. What has been repeated the most in your life? See, we're going to see that wisdom is repeated a lot throughout the book of Proverbs. But it is one of those core points of the book. Of course, there's other points throughout the book. I think laziness is a point that Proverbs tries to address. I think friendship is an idea that Proverbs tries to address. And you're not just going to find one proverb, you're going to find many and multiple. But when we're looking at the Proverbs, they're inspired. But what I would say is understanding that these are short, wise sayings that probably could be easily memorized, is that understanding that a lot of times they are very general principles. And what I mean is when we read a proverb, it doesn't mean that we can take it absolute and say it applies to all situations. It'll apply to most situations. It's good for life. It's a good thing to live your life by. But is it going to come true every single time? Not necessarily. Let me try to give you a few examples before we get into it. Just so we understand proverbs. General truths that can be applied, short, easy perhaps to memorize. Proverbs 15 and verse 19. A general truth. Okay? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19, it says, the way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. So it talks about the lazy man. It says his path is like what? It's like a path that has all these thorns in it, and it says the path of the righteous man is like a highway. So we've kind of got the easy path for the righteous man, and we've got the hard path for the lazy man. Is that a good general truth? I would say it is. I would say when I look at my life, I think my life is a lot easier because I try to live by principles of the Bible. But are there times that a righteous person's life could be hard? You know, I think of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Those who desire to live righteously will suffer persecution. You know, that might be a thorn in my path. If I was a Christian, some hard times. So it's a good general truth. When we talk about the lazy individual, a lot of times their life will be harder because of their way, and a lot of times the way of the righteous will be like a highway, it'll be smooth. But we understand that that is not an all-the-time case. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 22, it says, a wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. Now, this is another principle in Proverbs. There's a lot of times when we look at something, we understand it's a general truth. And then other times when we look at Proverbs, sometimes there's something deeper there, and it's almost using figurative language. Let me repeat that. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 22, it says, a wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. We've got a picture of the wise man. The wise man can climb up the walls of the city and be able to take the stronghold. Now, are we going to take that literally? I mean, perhaps you could take it literally, but when I think of a wise man might figure out a better way than to just climb directly over the wall. The wise man might try to have some strategy, but perhaps we could look at this Proverbs 21, verse 22. Maybe it's talking about the wise man overcoming great obstacles. Can a wise man climb over great obstacles in life? By careful consideration, by applying principles, and could take many trusted strongholds. If we take that literally, and I think that not all proverbs are meant to be taken literally, but certainly we can see the principle within and the truth within. As I think that people that are wise can overcome great obstacles. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 2. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 2 says, put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Okay, certainly some strong imagery there. Certainly we can understand that overeating could be a challenge for many, and certainly there's an idea there, and it's a truth that should be considered and looked at, but I think that we understand the principle and the idea I'm getting at, is when we're looking at Proverbs, we're looking at these short truths that are powerful for life, but they sometimes they're a general truth, and then sometimes when we look at them, we understand that there's going to have some figurative language that might not be taken 100% literal, but we get the message that is behind it. And there's a lot of these certainly throughout. Another general truth I'd say is Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 12. It says, if a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. I'll repeat that, Proverbs 29 and verse 12. If a ruler pays attention to lies, all the servants become wicked. Once again, I think that this is a general truth. We can find examples of corrupt leaders throughout the Bible, and there were people that served underneath those corrupt leaders and were not corrupted. But when the leaders of a land are corrupt, doesn't it influence the people below? Certainly it does. It says, if a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. Well, I think of Daniel. Didn't Daniel serve under some wicked leadership? I think of Jonathan. Jonathan's dad, King Saul, certainly had a lot of negatives in his life, and somehow Jonathan kind of stayed on the good path. So a good general truth. I think that when leaders do go bad, they start listening to lies, all kinds of things. That will have an effect on the people. So I think those are good general things to get out as we talk about Proverbs. Certainly a lot of things that can be looked at and considered. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 talks about the idea of raising children. And once again, a general truth. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Are there good parents out there that their children choose to disobey and go off the path? It's a general truth. If parents do their job, then I think the general rule is that those kids are going to do what they should do. But certainly, we understand the idea. It's a general truth. A general truth. And I think we can find examples throughout the Bible. But what I want to talk about tonight is wisdom. Now that we've kind of introduced Proverbs, we've got these short phrases. And if you start reading through Proverbs, a lot of people say this is a very good book to start if you're kind of getting back into daily Bible reading, because there's 31 chapters. And we can easily do a chapter a day there to just get back into it if it's a practice that you've fallen out of. But certainly something to think about. But talking about wisdom, you know, what does Proverbs say about wisdom? And the first thing I want to think about is, where is the source of wisdom? And we talked about this a little bit this morning, did we not? And certainly we need to go to God. But here's my question, is if we know where to go to be wise, then what are we if we don't go to that source to be wise? If we know where to go to be wise, but we don't go to that source, then I'd say we're fools. You know, that's an interesting thing to consider, is I think if we talk to a lot of religious people, we say, hey, you want to be wise? You want to know the ways of God? Where would you go? Most people will answer the Bible, but if we don't pick up the Bible ourselves and read it and try to apply it, I think that we might fall into the fool category. You know, there is a lot of education out there, and earthly education is not bad, but many times, when we look at earthly education, particularly, I think in recent years, and you don't have to share the same opinion as me, but I think there's been a lot of diluting over the years, and certainly as I look at colleges and universities, which I am a part of, I do see a lot of dilution and a lot of things happening that it's interesting if the world says, go here. Where really, if we dedicate a lot of our attention here, we'd be in a much better place. There's nothing wrong with secular education. There's a lot of people in my family, myself included, that have secular education. But really, when you're talking about wisdom, the most important lessons in life, I think you can find them right here in the Holy Word of God. But if we know that that's where we can find the best lessons of life, if that's where we can find wisdom, then why aren't we turning there more often? And if we're not doing that, perhaps we realize we fall into the category of a fool. If we know where to go to be wise, but we don't utilize the source, certainly I think that would be a problem. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and certainly that's a place that we should turn. But let's look at a few verses this evening about what the Proverbs says about wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, for the Lord gives wisdom, for his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Certainly when we think about God, the creator of the universe, there's a lot that he can tell us, a lot that he can reveal to us through his word. Do we go to the Lord who gives wisdom? Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. Do we go to God for wisdom? You know, when I think of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. You know, there's a lot of things that I think we still don't have the answers to. I think of Job. In Job chapter 38, verse 3, Job is kind of going back and forth with God. Job has had a rough time. He's had all these things stripped out of his life. And Job starts to question some things. He starts to kind of question God. And he's not going to, he's going to go through this process. And in Job chapter 38, verse 3, God is going to kind of go back at Job and says, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. I think it's so powerful to go through that and think about that. And when we think about the source of wisdom, wouldn't we think that the creator of the universe would be top on our list to turn to? The one that created all things, wouldn't that be the top person for us to turn to and get answers from? So Job is questioning a lot of things, and God says, hey, you prepare, I'm going to start questioning you. And I encourage you to read those questions, but let me just throw a few of the questions that God put out to Job. Here's a few of them that they put out. These are not in order based off the scriptures. These are just some that I pulled out as I was reading it. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know, that's a powerful question. And I don't think there's a man alive, really, when you think about that, the foundations of the earth. You know, when we use the scientific method, these are things that we're supposed to be able to see, observe, test, retest. That's kind of the scientific method, summarized. And you think about that, is when we ask some of the biggest questions of life, we realize you can't use the scientific method. I think we can use logic, but we can't use the scientific method. Are you going to recreate the earth? You know, you think about that. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? To determine its measurement. And that makes me think about, of course they call it the Goldilocks theory, but you think about our solar system when you think about the sun and the earth and then being the perfect distance apart. The perfect distance apart. A little bit closer, we burn up. A little bit farther, we're too cold. The perfect place for planet earth, and somehow it ends up in the perfect spot. The perfect spot. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? To determine its measurement. And you think about astronomy. Of course, you think astronomy is just the playground for science right now. I don't think there's a lot of testing and retesting going on. That's just my opinion. But they have a lot of theories about the universe, don't they? Whether the universe is expanding, whether the universe's boundaries are set. You think about that. God says, I know the measurement. I know the measurement. In fact, we think of the Old Testament scriptures where we have referenced a few times the idea that the stars cannot be counted, and scientists have basically given up. They said there's 6 sextillion stars, approximately. They can't count them, even though we've got machinery that basically can scan the sky and count automatically. Just pick up a 6 sextillion stars, approximately. We don't really know how many stars are out there, but God says you can't count the stars. And some other questions that were posed. It says, to what were its foundations fastened? That was an idea that kind of stuck in my head. To what were its foundations fastened? Have you entered the springs of the sea? Have you entered the treasury of snow? Who put wisdom in the mind? And of course, you can read those questions in Job, and as I consider each one, there's some of those that over the course of time, we have got some answers to. But there's some of those on that list I think we still don't have the answers to. Will you turn to God for wisdom? Will you turn to God, the God that created all things? In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 30, it says, there is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. Now that's interesting. There is no wisdom, no understanding, or counsel against the Lord. Then why are we running so fast to every other source of information? You know, why are we so compelled to run to the world, to run to the secular world, to get answers when the Bible has so many? And really, the answers that are most valuable to our eternity. There's no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. You know, why are we so compelled to be on the side of defeat? You know, finding the right answer is extremely valuable. And in fact, there's many businesses and many individuals throughout their lives, they're trying to find the right answer. And perhaps you've had a problem in your life, and you have tried to find the right answer. And there's something to be said about finding the right answer. Sometimes it takes a long time to find the right answer. And what's so sad is so many times, we go swimming through the wrong answers, and think we have to be swim through every wrong answer before we realize what's right. And actually, I was one of those people. When I was young and I was in high school, I went through the rebellious phase, perhaps as many do, and I said I would be any religion but what my parents are. Because I just saw the pattern. I saw my friends, parents were Catholic. Well, he's Catholic. Looked at my other friends, they're Baptist. I just kind of saw that pattern. It pretty much applies. And I said, I will be any religion but what my parents are. And you know what? I started swimming through all the wrong. Until I found my way back to this book and said, you know what? I better just go based off what this book says. Well, why would I go off this book? Because it's historically accurate, the scientific foreknowledge is accurate, the prophecies are accurate. Certainly all those aspects that we think about and consider, the history, the geography, the scientific foreknowledge, the prophecy. I started reading the book and started coming to the conclusion that, you know what? I think Mom and Dad, they might have had it right on this one. They don't have it right on everything, but they had it right on that one. And the longer I live, it seems like they have more right. And I think that's part of wisdom. You know, but do we have to really go through, swim through all the wrong to find that which is right? You know, the source of wisdom's right here. But if we don't utilize the source of wisdom, certainly perhaps we would call ourselves a fool. We think of the source of wisdom, I'd like to think of some of the actions of wisdom.
is the source of wisdom is God, and I think that the Bible well establishes that. But what are actions of wisdom? If I was a wise person, how might I act? How might I conduct myself? And certainly Proverbs talks a little bit about that. We know the source of wisdom, but are you acting wise? One of the first things I see, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. It seems like a wise person will listen or hear. And I know a lot of people in this life, they don't like to listen and hear, except for if it's themselves. It's themselves, they'll listen all day. They love to hear themselves, but the question is, are you willing to listen to others? It says, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Would you listen? And certainly that's something that I think is applicable to us as Christians. Are we listeners? I think of our faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Certainly there's bad things we can listen to in life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, it says, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This is Paul talking to Timothy, the young preacher. Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy. He says, a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers and turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We can listen to the wrong things, and we can listen to lies. We do have to have judgment, but I know many people that won't listen at all. Will we hear from the right people? Will we hear from the people of God? Will we hear from God's word? Will we test all things and hold fast to that which is good? You know, when I know a Christian that has knowledge on an area that I don't have knowledge on, I like to go to those people. You know, there's something about going to the right people, and the Bible encourages us to do that. The Bible says that wise people will listen, but wise people listen to individuals that I believe follow God. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. The well-advised is wisdom. Are you well-advised? Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to listen to who? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will obtain wise counsel. Now, the Bible talks about wisdom. It talks about the righteous man. It talks about the person, the only person that can get wisdom has to listen to God. I think we established that in the first point. The source of wisdom is God. So if God is the source of wisdom, and I want wise counsel, if I want to obtain wise advice, if I want to be well advised, I should go to those people that are listening to God, people that are hearing what God says. And whenever there's an issue in this life, perhaps there's secular issues sometimes, I'd rather talk to a Christian about my vehicle any day. I've talked to non-Christians about my vehicle. They about let me down some pretty bad roads in some cases. I don't want to necessarily rehash that. But I've had people that weren't Christians said, you know what? You should sell that. It's only going to run for a month. One more month and it's going to break apart. I'm still driving that vehicle to say. You know? If I'm going to get advice, I'd like to go to the Christian. I don't know much about vehicles. But you know what? If I want to be wise, even in secular things, if I can get my hands on somebody that's wise, that's already listening to God, certainly that goes a long way. Wise individuals will listen. And they will listen to people that follow God. You know, you think about that. That's just a simple and basic idea. You go through Proverbs, you're going to find that idea. The source of wisdom is God. And you know what? An action of a wise person is to listen to wise individuals. You know, it seems so simple. Another idea you're going to find is that a wise person, not only do they listen, but they apply what they hear. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33, it says, hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Okay, there's individuals that hear wise instruction every day. There's individuals that hear how to become a Christian every day, but they don't do it. They disdain it. They don't like it. They don't want to hear it. So an individual that's wise, not only do they hear, it says hear the instruction of the hear the instruction and be wise and do and not disdain it. Part of being wise is not only hearing the wise advice, but applying it as best you can. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, it says the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who needs counsel is wise. You know, a lot of people think that they're always right, and they won't ever get a second opinion. Are you willing to get a second opinion? Are you willing to get a second opinion? Listen to it. Not only listen, apply it. Hearing and doing. And certainly that's an idea we find in the New Testament. In James chapter 1, we certainly find that idea. James chapter 1, verses 22 and following. Sorry, James chapter 1. verse 22 and following, says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone hears the word and is not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Certainly the Bible teaches us that. The source of wisdom is God. A wise person, what do? They listen, and not only do they listen, they apply the wise advice that is given. A wise individual fears God. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, you think about that. If wisdom and instruction is connected to God, who would be against wisdom and instruction? People that don't like God. There's a lot of wise things taught in the Bible. In fact, many times people say them, they don't even realize they're in the Bible. Well, Kyle, I don't really believe in the Bible. I don't want to follow the Bible, but I think that you should treat people the way that you would want to be treated. Well, you know what? Our Lord said something very similar to that. In fact, you could say it's almost a direct quotation. And so many times people don't realize that they're actually referencing the Bible. I remember I had another discussion, it was kind of an argument, but it wasn't heated or anything. But it was about Abraham Lincoln and how divided against itself will not stand. And this individual said, Abraham Lincoln said that. And I said, well, he didn't say that, but it kind of comes from the Bible a little bit. And when you read about Abraham Lincoln, he only had a few books in his house growing up, and one of those was the Bible. And he certainly read it and read it and read it, and it did become a little piece of him as he served throughout his life in terms of the presidency. But it's like, there's a lot of Bible that floats around, but people would rather hear it comes from a man than hear it comes from the Bible. Oh, that sounds really wise. You know, treat other people the way you want to be treated, that sounds like really good advice. Well, it came from the Bible. You know, oh, that sounds really good. I think that that's a good idea to live by. Well, it came from the Bible. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Many times they despise it just because they don't fear God and they don't like what God stands for and what God really calls us to be in our lives. You know, a wise person fears the Lord. A wise person listens. A wise person applies what has been said. A wise person accepts reproof. And perhaps that's a hard thing for many individuals. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8, it says, the wise in heart will receive command, but a prating fool will fall. Can you receive a command? You know, that kind of steps into obedience. That's something that many times individuals struggle with. There's a lot of people say, you won't tell me what to do. Well, you know what? God's going to tell you some things that you need to do. And you're going to have to be humble enough to say, I will do that which God has said. In fact, obedience, we see it throughout the Bible. Not only does God say, be obedient to me, be obedient to the Son of God, but also, you start reading the scriptures, we're supposed to be obedient to the government. As long as the government doesn't contradict what the Bible says, violates our faith, we're to be obedient to the government. It says, the wise in heart will receive command. Can you receive reproof? In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, it says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Can you listen? It's a trait of a wise man, a wise woman. Is can you hear and can you correct? Certainly, there are so many other things that Proverbs talks about. The Proverbs talks about selecting wise companions. It talks about thinking before you act. Proverbs talks about being humble. Proverbs talks about winning souls, I believe. Some of it, I think it's in reference to that. I think there's some Proverbs that talk about walking with wise individuals, surrounding yourself with wise individuals. It talks about Proverbs turning away from evil and being wise. It talks about being wise with your money. And it also talks about being wise and not consuming alcohol. There's a lot of things that Proverbs says about being wise. The source of wisdom is God, and there are many actions of the wise, and we certainly can't cover them all. But you know, there's benefits of being wise. You know, there's many things that the world would say, if you could have these in your life, you would be set. You know, if you had wealth, if you had health, if you had happiness. But really, wisdom can lead us to all these things. And because wisdom can lead us to all these things, happiness, I think it can lead us to a prosperous life. Not a health and wealth gospel type of thing, but I think it can lead us to a prosperous life if we work hard, provide for our families. I think it can lead us to a good life where our basic needs are taken care of. I think it can lead us to a healthy life. But will you listen to wisdom? See, wisdom is more precious than all these things because through wisdom you can be led to those things, whatever we need in this life. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11 says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." Wisdom is put way up at the top. Because wisdom comes from God. Not only does it come from God, but if we listen and we apply what it says, it leads us to the best life we can possibly have. It's not a life necessarily without bumps and bruises, but it's a blessed life, really, because of all the spiritual blessings. There's a lot of things that can happen to you throughout this life. Death, disease, disaster, a lot of things can happen. A lot of persecution can happen. But at the end of the day, the Christian can say, "I'm blessed." I think the Apostle Paul said that throughout his life. You look at some of those things he rattles off. He rattles off a big long list. He says, "I've been beat, I've been shipwrecked, I've been hungry," and he rattles off this big long list. And you think about that, and that's a lot of hard things that the Apostle Paul faced, but at the end of the day, I think the Apostle Paul could say, "I'm blessed." And certainly the Apostle Paul had wisdom. He knew where wisdom came from. He listened to it and applied it throughout his life. And because of that, he received so many great benefits that do not compare to the physical, and certainly apply to the spiritual. So many things can be said about wisdom, but the benefit of wisdom is it leads us to so many great blessings. It leads us to Jesus, our Lord, certainly when we think about that. You know, wisdom is good for others. Not only do you think about wisdom kind of benefiting yourself in a personal way, but wisdom actually benefits those that are around you. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." The tongue of the wise promotes health. Have you ever thought that you could lay out a perfect word at a perfect time that would encourage somebody, that would help somebody, that would benefit their life in some way? See, certainly wisdom can benefit ourselves, but it can benefit those that are around us. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 21, it says, "The wise in heart will be called prudent, and the sweetness of their lips increase learning." You know, when you're wise, you can be a blessing to those that are around you. You can be a blessing to those that are around you by your actions and the way that you conduct yourself. And certainly that is not to be overlooked. Wisdom benefits us, but it benefits those that are around us. Perhaps you need to heed some wise advice this evening, or wise words this evening. The only wise words I can give you are those of Jesus. At the end of Mark, he says, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Certainly that's what we see. Perhaps you've got questions. Perhaps you've walked away from the straight and narrow path and need to come back. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation anyway, we ask you to please come this evening as we stand, as we sing.